This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. The following khutbah, our sermon, was recorded Friday, May the 24th of the year 2002 at Taqwa Islamic Center in Chicago, Illinois. The khatib, our teacher, is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. We praise God. The praise is for Him. We witness that He is one, alone, has no God with Him in the rule of the heavens and the earth. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed over 14 centuries ago, over 1400 years ago, Muhammad, the prophet, the messenger prophet of Mecca, is his servant and his messenger, what follows of that traditional salute to the last prophet, Muhammad. Muslims are believers in God, in the prophetic tradition of the prophets. Peace be upon them. The prophets mentioned in the Bible are the prophets also mentioned in the Quran, except for very few exceptions. And Muhammad the Prophet is also mentioned in the Quran. And the Quran was revealed to Muhammad the Prophet. We read the Quran and we read the stories of many prophets, several prophets, many prophets. And God says that many are not many, but he doesn't say many, but the impression is that many, there are many. There are prophets that are unnamed in the Quran. So all the prophets are not in the Quran according to the words of God to us in the Quran. So he says that there never was a people that did not receive a messenger from God. So that would give us the idea, the picture, that there were many messengers of God, because there are many people all over the world. We should also understand, which is very important for us, prayers and peace be upon him, we should understand that Muhammad the Prophet is mentioned in the Bible. In the old, what the Christian called the Old and New Testament. See, he is the messenger prophet mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil and in the Injil. This is what Allah says in the Quran of Muhammad the Prophet. And I don't think many Muslims are aware of that, especially from this community. I don't think enough of you are aware that Muhammad the Prophet is a prophet in the Bible, prophesied in the Bible to come, and he is the one that the Quran was revealed to correct what was lost and confused. And we study the Bible, we see that the people were constantly losing the way. God would guide them on the way, and then they'd get in trouble, and God would have to send a warning to them, to warn them that they had deviated, they had corrupted the way. So it shouldn't be any surprise to us that the Quran came to make the way right. Because God was sending prophets all along to bring them back to the right way, to bring them back to the purity of the religion, or to obey the commandments, bring them back to obedience under the law, under the commandments of God. So that was happening all the time. But with the Quran, we believe that there's no need for any revelation to come anymore. This is the final revelation. The Quran is the final revelation. And it will be here for all times, till the end of the world as we know it. And God will bring in a new creation when He pleases, according to the Quran, according to His word in the Quran. So this is very important, that we know that Muhammad, though the Christians don't acknowledge him, the Jews don't acknowledge him, except a few. A few Christians acknowledge Muhammad as a prophet. I mean, a few denominations, not just individuals. A few denominations in Christianity acknowledge Prophet Muhammad as a prophet. And a few denominations in Christianity do not believe or accept that Jesus Christ is God. And they're Christians. They acknowledge Jesus Christ the same way we do, peace be upon them. They acknowledge him as a prophet, not as God. So don't think that we are completely separated and just only us are saying these things. No. What we have is what God gave the people before, and Muhammad was given to us, to the world, to bring us back to the purity of the religion and to God's purpose. Man is created for God's purpose. You're not just here on this earth to live like animals, insects and things and die. God created human beings for a purpose, and your ability is much higher than the ability of all the other life He created. So this should make us believe, help us believe, that God did create us for His purpose, more so than He did animals, insects, fish, and things like that, you see? He created us for His purpose. And that's what the learned in this religion stress more than anything else, is that we realize that we are created to serve Allah. We're created to serve Him. And He calls all of us, not just prophets, He calls all of us His servants. God speaks to all mankind, saying, Ya Ibadi, O my servants. Ya Ibadi, O my servants. The plural of Abd, for one. Muhammad is His Abd, and all of us are His Ibad. So what does that mean? Individually, all of us are His Abd too. Muhammad is the Abd of God, and every one of us is the Abd of God. But not on that high level that the prophets are on, but we all are the servants of God. And when we preach as imams and teachers, we should make sure that all the believers know, or all the audience know who are listening to us, that we are on this earth to serve God. I remember reading in the Bible, Jesus Christ said, He said, I have to be about my Father's business. Now that statement, what is it saying? That I am here to do my Father's business. And that means, Father means God, creator. And that tells us that His purpose on this earth was to work for God. To work for God, to be God's servant. And only when we understand God in the right way, that's why it's so important that we know God as God is, not from somebody's dreams or somebody's guesswork. We have to know God as God is, you see? And perception is what God wants us more than anything else, want us to be aware of. Not our physique, our physical powers, our physical weaknesses, not our body, the physical body, not even our intellect, just in a general way. No. He wants you to know your intellect in a specific way, in a definite, certain way. He wants you to know that your intellect exists to find Him. Your intellect exists to find Him. So He didn't create us and leave us without help. He created us and gave us an intellect that He created with a nature to, and a hunger in it to find Him. We don't know that we're looking for Him when we start out. All we know is we just want to improve the way we see things and the way we understand things. And sometimes that perception, that desire to perceive and understand correctly, begins in the universe itself, like it did for many of the prophets. And some, not in the skies, but they looked at what was happening down here in the weather of the earth, the storms, etc., how the fair weather comes after the storm, and the quiet of the skies, etc., and these many things. They looked at many things. Some looked at the life that grew, and the life that grew guided them to their God. The life, the beautiful things that grow, flowers, beautiful strong trees, holding birds, and sheltering birds, and sheltering other living things, and giving shade to man in the hot regions. So they looked, reflected on these things. They thought about these things, and they said that there's a good Lord somewhere that's responsible for these good things, for all this beauty, for all this wonderful creation. And they came to God by way of creation itself. And then others came to God by way of creation, but their own creation. Their own creation. And in the Quran, Allah tells us, oh man, you question things, and you don't know the way, you're not finding the way, and you're questioning belief, you're questioning faith. Why don't you question your own creation? That's what God says in our holy book. Why don't you question your own creation? And many came to God, prophets, messengers, came to God through their own creation. They questioned their own creation. And Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, Ibrahim in the Quran, he questioned both his own nature and he questioned also the creation, the external world. He questioned both himself and the external world. And he's the one who led all of us to devote our intellect, not just our spirit and hearts, but to devote our minds to God. Because he searched with his mind, himself and creation. He said, "Zalamtu nafsi." When he discovered the truth, he said, "Zalamtu nafsi." I have oppressed my own self. I have wronged my own self. And then he confessed his sin and his faults to God. And he prayed to God that God guide him always, and save him from errors, and save him from sins. This is Abraham, Father Abraham. So the life of man from birth to death is more importantly a life to understand things with his mind. That's his most important life, to understand with his mind. And not to work with his hands like animals, work with their limbs and die. No, but to work with his mind. And we die in our mind and we have to be resurrected. We think we know the truth and sometimes we latch on to something that makes us a false god, that makes us a false god. And we invite other people to worship us as God. And then God has to raise us up from our dead minds and give us a living mind again. Because when you don't have God in your mind, you have a dead mind. God is the life of the human intellect. And without God in the human intellect, the intellect is a dead intellect. It's no more than animal intellect. As a human, is dead. The human is dead. When we don't have God in our mind, the human is gone, he's dead. And God promises resurrection. He revives us and gives us a resurrection. And the heart is key. We lose God because our heart goes wrong. And we find God, or we warrant God's help because our hearts turn right after our hearts went wrong. And what takes our heart the wrong way? Many things. For the little fella, a lot of small appetites, animal appetites. The little fella, animal appetites, takes his heart and causes him to lose the way to God, and he's a dead being. As a human being, he's dead. But for the big man, what takes him down is being deceived by his own powers and qualifications. He began to think that he is so much that really there's nothing outside of him greater. So it's the lust or greed for power and control, when he thinks himself to be so powerful, nothing is greater than man, then now he wants power and control over man. And if any person is guilty of wanting power and control over people, take it from Wallace D. Muhammad, W. D. Muhammad, that person has begun to see themselves as the only power and not God. When you see God as the power, it humbles you. You don't want to worship yourself. You don't care even to have people praise you too much. It makes you uncomfortable. Why? Because it's disturbing your peace. Your peace is when you're humbling yourself before God. And if they lift you up too much, that disturbs your peace. It's like a threat to your idea of God. I hope you're following me. I'm making it clear. But sometimes you need a milk bottle, you need a titty or something, you know, for some of you all, and I don't have that right now. I'm making it clear to you. You have to open up your mind. Open up your mind. But no matter how important the heart is, you can't have progress in this world without your mind being alive. And nothing can give your life, your mind, and life more life than God Almighty, God Himself. Now, getting back to perception, because this is my thought for this khutbah today. Getting back to perception. Perception in the mind needs the heart to be right, to get where God wants us to go with our minds. All right? And so God says of Muhammad the prophet, we revealed it or sent it down upon his heart. His heart was revealed upon his heart. And God said, had it been, in another way, had it been revealed upon or sent down upon a mountain, the mountain would have crumbled. Humbling yourself before God, the mountain would have crumbled. The mountain wouldn't have been able to hold itself together. What is that referring to? The intellect of man, the mountain. The mountain is the intellect of man, the mind that wants to learn more and more and more and want to arrive at more specific knowledge or more specific sight. Want to be more accurate, more precise. Don't want to be too general. I want to see clearly. What is the point in this matter? What is the main idea in this matter? What is the life of this logic? Where does this logic get its life from? So those are questions that thinking men ask, and thinking women. That's why the Quran says, and the thinking women. Thinking men and the thinking women. And I guess that's why the prophet freed women to get an education equal with men. When he said, if any of you men will educate two of your daughters, you will get the paradise, the Jannah, the garden of paradise. Peace be upon the Prophet Muhammad. And you know, he insisted upon public education long before the world had public education. Muhammad the Prophet insisted upon public education. No elite class, no special group was to have a monopoly on education, knowledge, and science. No, open to everybody, made it public in his time, 14 centuries ago. And as a result, we know, the history tells us, universities sprung up in Damascus, Syria, and many other places, fine universities that attracted not only Muslims. And he is a mercy to all the worlds. Isn't that what God says of our prophet in the Quran? He is a mercy to all the worlds. And you look for, where is the proof of that? Where is the evidence of that? Because of him, of people who had not received the messenger before, scripture before, the Ummiyuns, or the Ummiyins of Arabia, who were like him, the Ummiyi prophet. And they were the Ummiyuns, or Ummiyins. And as a result of him receiving guidance from God, the Quran, revelation, from God, communication. Don't let your minds not be active. Don't let your minds not want to understand what you're hearing. When you hear the word revelation, don't just take it for a common word, like most of these people in religion in America and the world. No, you want to know what revelation is. It means communication. It means talking. It means God talked to man. That's what it means. But we don't call it talking, we call it revelation, because he doesn't have need for the teeth and tongue that you that we have. But he gives what he wants his man to know. He gives it to his heart and to his mind, God. And man knows clearly, when God speaks to him, buddy, he knows clearly what he's hearing. If he doesn't, he strains. He let God know that he's having difficulty. And he's not satisfied until he has it clearly from his God. And, you know, like an instrument, or like in religion, they have these parables and symbols to help us understand. They describe man sometimes as an instrument that plays beautiful music. The instrument can play the music, but now it's got rust in it. Rust has tainted on us. Or something it has have obstructed, got in the way of the passage of the air. But once you dig out the obstruction, or clean away the corrosion and whatever, oh, it'll play such beautiful music, so clear and nice. Well, that's how our own life is. If we have it in the good condition that God created it to be in, then we get the message and everything. But sometimes the obstruction is put in there by the world. The world give you the wrong ideas. Muhammad the prophet was like that. He rejected false gods. But he didn't know the right perception. He hadn't been following scripture. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't anybody that followed the scripture. So he had problem trying to understand things that other people in religion, especially the learned in religion, understood. Because they had received guidance from God, they understood these things. But Muhammad had not. So when the revelation first came to him, he had difficulty. He couldn't understand it. God was clear, but he couldn't understand what he was hearing or what he was getting, you see. So God helped him to get his mind situated, his curious and intellectual curiosities in the right condition to grasp or understand what God was giving him. And how did he do that? By telling him, read. So read. And some of us think he meant, read what I'm telling you. He said, read. And we think he meant, read Quran. No, not at that point. In fact, he had to read something else that would help him and put him in a situation to read Quran. He had to read something else. And what was that something else? It's alluded to, it's there. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Every messenger and prophet had to come to God by way of creation. He searched the creation, and that brought him to his God, as I told you earlier in this presentation I'm making here today, Khutbah. They find God through creation, either self or the world or both. So God told him, read. He didn't know this. He hadn't done that. All he knew was his people were in bad shape. They were worshiping things that he didn't like, and they were not making progress. And the world was messed up at that time. The whole world was on the darkness. So Muhammad was carrying a heavy heart to God when he went up into the mountain, to the cave, the mountain of the light, and that was called that, given that name after he received the light there. Then the mountain became the name for it became the mountain of the light, Jabal Nur. Yes. So he was seeking God with a heavy heart, what he was worried about, the condition of his people. And he was a very intelligent man, Muhammad the Prophet. Very intelligent man. And there are many proofs of this, that what I'm saying now, that he was very intelligent. One of them is that his wife was a businesswoman, Lady Khadija, God be pleased with her. And she saw that he was an honest person, and she wanted him to take care of her business. She turned her business over to him. You don't turn your business over to an honest person that's stupid. That ain't enough. Okay, so that's evidence that Muhammad was a great intellect when God chose him. He was a great person all around. Great heart, that's shown in how he lived. Truthful man, that's Sadiq. Honest man, El-Amin. All those titles he had before he was chosen by God. And God chose him because he was the perfect man. Praise be to Allah. Yes, so we have to understand that you come by way of the creation to God. You come by way of creation. And that's why God says to this person who not accepting faith, having problem understanding faith, these ideas, oh, I don't buy this stuff, this magic, this superstition. God says, why don't you question your own creation? Question your own self. I have done that. Because I wasn't invited to clear Islam. I was invited to problems that if I solved them, I would be situated to receive clear Islam. That's what I was invited. I was invited as a student to solve problems that was given to me. And you, if you belong to the Nation of Islam then, or now. And the problems were ordered to situate me so I could find God in the Quran, go to the Quran, and love the Quran, and love his messenger, Muhammad, and be a Muslim with other Muslims of the world. You see? Yes, perception, on perception. Perception, what is perception? I read the words of one scientist, social in a social study book, and this scientist, you know, social studies includes psychology too. This scientist said that perception is the working of all the senses together. So we know we perceive with our eyes. Perception means seeing. Seeing. That's what it means, perception. Seeing. We know we see with our eyes, or perceive with our eyes. We perceive also with our nose. We perceive what is in the air that smells with our nose. We perceive with our ears what we're hearing. We perceive with our skin, our five senses. That's what I'm saying. We perceive with our skin, or our feelings, what we're touching, etc. Whether it's hot or cold, rough or smooth, etc. We perceive with all of our five senses what is true and what is false, what is correct and what is not correct. Isn't it wonderful how a man blind, science studied how to have him read, and he can read by touch, braille? That was a great discovery by man. To discover a way so that blind people can read. Don't you know reading gives a true human being pleasure above everything else? Yes, a real human being gets more pleasure out of reading than anything else. Because reading, there's so much have been put into writing. A history of the world, everything, the field of study, science, whatever, art, and all have been written by the people that have given us these sciences, these books of knowledge. And if you can read, oh, You can just venture around the world and go into exciting areas of interest for the human mind. Reading. I guess that's why Allah said to Muhammad the first word, read.